Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
No way, no matter what.
A little bit after I got off the show, I started doing some more research.
I started doing some more research up on this NSA stuff. Y'all, I'm telling you, the rabbit hole goes deep, ladies and gentlemen, deep. You just don't even know. So what I want to do for you is give you the best I can give you. Like I always do a lot of this time. You know how we do it? You can find me on you can find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also find me at soundoff 97410 on Facebook. You also can go to my personal website, which is Soundoff Forums. Soundoff Forums. .org, .net, .com. It's 3 F's and an S. If you like it, y'all, go on and do those things, because hey, it's for you. It's not for me. If you want to know what pill you gonna take, the red pill or the blue pill, I got the page set up for y'all. It's a hey, look, the rabbit hole goes deep. Yes. You can also follow me on Twitter. You see, I'm in a good mood tonight. You can also follow me at Twitter at hashtag soundoff 97413. You can also call in if you like, 347-989-1014, King James Version, Ephesians 6:6-13. And you know I'm going to hit up on this. Important stuff. This is the reason why I'm reading this, is because it goes through everything I tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that I talk about, it hits. And it just, I'm telling you, next week, off the chain next week. Oh, yeah, we're going to get in some real diabolical gospel of Jesus. Then I have a special guest coming on Wednesday from Bravo TV. Ah, can't wait to put that out. So, yes, we will have a television celebrity on our show. First time. You know. I'm not tooting on my own horn, but I don't really go for the whole celebrity thing. I don't get overly excited. But this lady is very funny. and she also has her own money. She also, not only does she have her own money and company, but she also has her own song out. And I will play it when as an intro for you. And if you've been to my page, on my personal page, you've already seen it. So, but it's going to be great. Anyway, so we'll go back to Ephesians. Not with eye service and in man's pleasures, but the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service and as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever so good thing any man doeth, the same that he shall receive from the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. And ye masters be do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Very important. Put upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And put the whole armor, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say, amen. Ah. Once again, it is time to get it on. You hear me? A few things that I would like to bring up. As we are... broadcasting live. I want you to know this. Not only are we broadcasting live, but it will be able for you to review and look at, because it's on my archives. And if you go to my archives, you can listen to all my previous messages. So, you know, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about what's going on, and it just can't cannot be dismissed as being something that people are not ready for, because people are ready for this, and I'm just excited to be the one to help do this thing for the people out there. And without you, ladies and gentlemen, I can't do the show. You see what I'm saying? So, without further ado, we'll get into it. It is going to be cram-packed today, ladies and gentlemen, cram-packed with information. It's going to spill over to next week, because there's still stuff that I've got to talk about. And I know you're thinking, wow, is this more of this stuff? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, more of this stuff, okay? Because it's got to be put out. I've got to do what's right. So let me go over a few things for you. And let's see, the fact sheet that is up, that's okay. Oh, what I did find out, check this out. You remember last night when we were talking about the OMB and the Sylvia Bird Wells was she was the director of that department. Did you know that she was part? I mean, listen. She is part of the Council of Foreign. She is part of the Council of Foreign Ministry, and she and Michelle Obama and President Obama are all friends. They're all part of this group. And she was, listen, check this out. She was the director of MetLife, who is, you know, an insurance company. I wonder why she was working for Obama. We want to push through the Obamacare, right? And it goes right through all these medical. Listen, man, these people think they're tricky, you know? And she didn't resign she didn't resign until April 13th or some April. I'm not going to give the exact date because I don't know the exact date because I forgot. But I know it's April 2013. And this lady's been sitting in the office for a minute. Right? So, y'all need to check up on that. She can't be serving on the board and working in a capacity for the federal government. That's against regulations. I know that to be first and true. Okay. All right. Just want to bring that fact up. Okay. So, I will have to go over a very important piece of the puzzle of the intelligence community. Now, you probably never heard of this, because I know I've said it briefly, but I haven't heard of it either. So when they were sitting on the panel, I was like, man, wow, I've never heard of Niche. But check this out. When Niche came about, they are basically, let me try to put it in a small little bubble. They are the buffer between the government and private and public contracting, or government contracting as well. All three of these. And we've already went over the private sector, the public sector, and the government sector. And so it's more to this, ladies and gentlemen, and you wouldn't believe the amount of digging I had to do in order to get all this stuff, right? So check this out. So the National Institution of Standards and Technology, what's called NIST, better known in 1909 or 1988 as the National Bureau of Standards, is the NBS. It is to measure the standards of labor of laboratories, otherwise known as the National Mandatory Institution, which is the NMI, which is a non-regulated agency of the United States Department of Commerce. Non-regulated. Just want to throw that out there. The institution's official mission is to promote United States implications and industrial competition by advancing measured science standards and technology in ways that enhances the economic security and improve our quality of life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, they have failed at that. I just want to say that. NIST had the operating budget for the fiscal year of 2007, October 1st, 2006 through September 30th, 2007. The amount is $843.3 million. NIST 2009 budget was $992 million, but it also received an additional $610 million as part of the American Cover and Reinvestment Act. What? Well, how much you got? Okay. That freaks me out. The NIST employs about 2,900 scientists, engineers, technicians, and support and administrative personnel. About 1,800 NIST associates, guest researchers, and engineers from American companies and foreign nations compile the staff. In addition, NIST partners with 1,400 at manufacturing specification threatens and tolerances. Sorry. Specialists and staff at nearly 350 affiliated centers around the country. NIST published a handbook 44 that provides the specification tolerations and other technical requirements for measuring and for weighing and measuring devices. In 1948, financed by the Air Force, the Bureau became a design and construction of the SECAC, the Standard Eastern Automatic Computer. And this is where they get a mobile phone, a mobile version of the DYSEDC that was built by the Signal Company in 1954. And that's when it transferred, in 1988, that's when it transferred from standards to standard and technology. The Metric Conference, or the Treaty of the Metric, is established in the International Bureau of Weights and Measurements and under the international community elected by the General Council of Weight and Measure. And you're asking me why is this all important? It's because is part of Homeland Security. The NIST develops the government-wide identification cards, standards for federal employees and contractors to provide authorized personnel to gain access to the government buildings and computer systems. NIST works in conjunction with the Technical Guidelines and Development Committees and the Election Assistant Commission to develop the voluntary voting system guidelines and voting machines on electric technology. NIST has projected focus on improving software assurances by developing methods to ensure software tools, evaluation, measurements, and affecting of the tools, and techniques and identifying the gaps of the tools that is measured by. And this is called the SEMMAT, Software Awareness Measuring and Tool Investigation. I'm going to briefly talk about it. I'm going to skip it. I'll skip it. This is called the NIST hash function competition. It says niche hash function competition was open competition held by the Institution of Standard and Technology to develop a new hash function called the SHA-3 to compete with older SHA-1 and SH-2. The competition was formally announced by the Federal Registration on November 2nd, 2007, initializing an effect to develop one or more additional hashes of the Enterix through the public competition, several of the development processes for the additional encoding standard, AES. The competition ended in October 2nd, 2012, when Niche announced that the KEACAC would be the new SH3 hash interim. The process, let me tell you the process real quick so we can get an understanding of what's going on. The submission was due October 31st, 2008, and the list of candidates appeared for the first round was published on December the 9th, 2008. Niche held a conference in that later February 2009 was submitters present through this English and the NICT, or the Niche, officials decided criteria for to narrow down the field of the candidates in round two. A list of 14 candidates accepted in round two was published in July 24th, 2009. Another conference was held in August 2010 after the Crypto 2012 at the University of California, Santa Barbara, where the second round candidates were discovered. The announcement of the final round candidates occurred in December 2010. On October 2012, the Niche announced the winner being KEACAC, who created by Guido Portai and Janet Damon and Gal Van Asht of the STM Macroelectronics of Michael Peters of NXT. Entirex, the five was incomplete in the mission, and the Niche selected 51 entries in round one. Winner, blah, 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 the finalist. Okay. And you're asking me why am I reading this stuff? It's because, you see, these people are branching out to, as they say, open competition for people who are doing research or doing whatever they need, so they don't have to go and hire scientists to start from scratch when people are already doing it. And so when they have this open such thing that they need for the encryptions for the NSA, well, they had this competition, and so now you see who won. They're going to continue to use them, in other words, until they don't need them no more, okay? So the WWV is a signal calling of United States National Institute of the Standards and Technology, which is NICH, the HF, shortwave radio that is stationed in Fort Carson, Colorado. The WWV consistently transmits official U.S. government frequencies and time signals of 2.5, 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz. These carrier frequencies and times of signals are controlled by local atomic clocks, transferable to the NICS primary standards of the Boulder, Colorado GPS, commonly viewed obligations and other time transmission methods. The NICS also operates in various similar radio stations, the WWVH in Hawaii. WWV and WWVH have the record announcements, such they should share the same frequency. WWV uses the male voice to the signals from its WWVH, which has a female voice. They also make the other record announcements and general entrance, the GPS satellite consolidated status and severe oceanic weather warnings. The WWV shares its Fort Carson site with the radio WWVB that carries a time code no voice of 60 kilohertz in the low frequency or LF band. This frequency, at the end of 1922, WWV performed shifts of broadcasting standard frequent signals. These signals were to separate needed by the broadcasters, because the equipment limitation at the time meant that the broadcasting could not stay on their assignment frequency. Texting began in 1923, a frequency of 200 and to 545 kilohertz for broadcasting. Frequency broadcasting officially began March 6, 1923. The frequency were accurate to accurate to better than 0.3%. At first, the transmission had to be manually switched from one frequency to the next using a wave meter. The first quartz auditor was invented in the mid-1920s, and the great improvement of the quality of the WWV frequency broadcast. In 1926, the WWV was nearly shut down. Its signal could be only covered on the east half of the United States, and the other stations in Minneapolis and the Stanford University and Massachusetts Institution of Technology were slowly making WWV redundant. The station's implemented shutdown was announced in 1926 because it would save the flood of the protection from citizens who relied on the service. Later in 1931, the WWV underwent an upgrade. So as you can really understand it, and what I'm trying to say is, we deal with frequencies on the show a lot, and I'm not suggesting, well, maybe I may be suggesting, maybe depending on how you look at it, on how the frequencies are delivered, okay? Because the way that the frequencies are delivered, it may be to a frequency that may interfere with our magnetic energy itself. So it might be most of the reason why they banned it, okay? So I would like to talk about the reason why transitioning from that radio station to why I talked about niche, and why it is so important that we know what's going on, right? Because there was it was called Operation Mockingbird. It was a secret CIA campaign to influence media beginning in 1950s. Organized by Cord Meyer and Alan W. Dois, in 1950, it was later led by Frank Wisner after Dulles became the head of the CIA. The organization recruited leading American journalists in the network to help present the CIA's view and funded some of the students and culture at organizations, magazines as fronts. As it developed, it also worked to influence foreign media and political campaigns, in addition to activities by other organizing units of the CIA. In the addition to the earlier exposure of the CIA activities in the foreign affairs in 1966, Red Park magazine, a CIA funded front, published an article revealing that the National Student Association was founded by the CIA. Congress investigated, published in 1976, and other accounts were published. The media operated was first called Mockingbird in Deborah Davis's 1970 book, Catherine the Great, Catherine Graham and Her Washington Post Empire. In 1948, Frank Weiss was appointed to the Office of Special Projects, which was OSP. Soon after, OSP was renamed the Office of Policy Coordination, which is OPC, this became the covert action branch of the CIA. Wisner was told to create an organization that consistently on propaganda, economic warfare, preventive directive actions, and included sabotage and anti-sabotage and evacuation measures. Subvisions after the hostile state, including the assistance into the underground resistance groups, and support the indigenous anti-communist elements in threatening countries of the free world. Later that year, established Mockingbird, a program to influence foreign market media. Wisner recruited Phil Graham, the Washington Post, to run a program within the industry. According to Deborah Davis, Catherine the Great, by the early 1950s, Wisner owned respected members of the New York Times, New York Weekly, and the CBS, and other communication vehicles. In 1951, the CIA evaluated evidence that he was recruiting several years earlier and had been spying on the liberal internationalist organizations he had been a member of in the later 1940s. According to Davis, Myers became Mockingbird's principal operative. After 1953, the network was overseen by Alan W. Dois, director of the CIA. By the time Operation Mockingbird had major influence over 25 newspapers, wire assets, and used methodology with placing reports developed by the intelligence providing the CIA with witnessing and unwitnessing reports. Those reports would be repeated and cited by the president preceding reporters, which in turn would then be recited through the media wire system. These networks were run by people as well-known liberals by pro-American big corporations and anti-Soviet views, with William Preeley, CBS, Henry Luce, Time and Lifetime Magazine, Arthur Hayes, Selvyberg, New York Times, Alfred Friendly, manager and editor of the Washington Post, Jerry O'Leary, Washington Star, Hell and Vexed, Miami News, Barry Bingham Sr., Louisville Courier Journal, James Copley, the Copley News Service, and James Henderson, the Christian Science Monitor. The the OPC was funded by a shift horn of funding intended for the Marshall Plan. Some of this money was used to bridle journalists and publishers. Frank Wisner was consistently looking for ways to help conceal the public from the destroying of the Soviet communists. In 1954, Wagner arranged the funding of Hollywood to produce an animal form, an animation allegation based on the book of George Orwell. According to Alex Constantine, Markenberg, the subdivision of the Free Press by the CIA in 1950s, there was 3,000 salaries and contract CIA employees were eventually emerged into the propaganda effect. Wagner was able to constrain news from reportings about certain events, including the CIA plot to overthrow the government in Iran, which was Operation Ajax, and in Somalia, Operation TB Success. Thomas Braddon, head of the International Operation Division of the IOD, played an important role in Operation Markenberg. Many years later, he revealed his role. If the director of the CIA wanted to extend a present and say that someone in Europe, a labor leader, supposedly he thought, this man would use $50,000. He'll work well and do a good job. He could hand it over to him and never had to account to anyone. There was simply no limit to the money it was spending and no limit to the people he could hire, no limit to the activities in it caused to decide whether the necessary conditions of the war, the secret war, it was a multinational, maybe it was one of the first. The journalists were targets, the labor unions were particular targets, and one of the most activities in which communists spent the most money. Ladies and gentlemen, this is operation. This is operational Markenberg. Okay? So with that comes the Bureau of Information, the Bureau of International Information Program. This is ran by the State Department. Why? And you're probably wondering why am I reading these things? It's because these things interconnect with everything that deals with the intelligence agencies. And so if you don't see the connection, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go and do some research on yourself by yourself and find out what exactly is going on. But check this out. So the Bureau prides itself for using technology and alliance to improve its effect. The Bureau produces and services, including websites and other internet services, electronic journals, speech programs, print publications, CD-RAMs, usually are designed to support the United States initiatives as well as done as the U.S. federal policy or operations. It also manages information research centers overseas and also refers to specialists based in Washington, D.C. to answer specific information queries from abroad. The IIP was created for elements of the United States Information Agency when it merged into the State Department in October 1999. This organization operated as a reinvention laboratory through the team-based management structure. The IIP comprised of three offices: the Office of the Geographic Liaison, which the first point of contact within the IIP for missions overseas and for audience that may serve; the team's writer, editor, information research officer, the program officer, and the translator. Divided regional operations of origin for products and service. The second one was the Office of the Theocrat Program, which is a multifunctional team organized in one or two ways, looking along subject matter lines, as such as the economics, economic safety along the private lines, such as electronical data. The thermic team work closely with the geographical team in producing services and support the Washington Initiative and the mission request. And the third and final one was the Office of Technology. The services is responsible for developing, interrupting, and applying government-wide technology policies and procedures in support of the Undersecretary of the Public Democracy and Public Affairs, the Department of Educational and the Culture Affairs, and the IIP. So the Bureau was ran by the U.S. Speaker and Specialist Program, which used the U.S. experts to deliver many lectures served by the consulates and the conductions of seminars. Either overseas from the United States via teleconference, Vice President Dick Cheney requested a review of the program after 2005 story when the State Department officially said that the political litmus tests were being used to weed out speakers critical of George Bush's administration. In 2006, a report by the Department Inspector General Office said that the United States official screening of the public statements and the writings and the private citizens of the concern of the Bush administration before deciding whether to send them on federal speaking assignments, the screening amounted to be virtual censorship in the State Department's selection of speaking, said that 22 pages of a report. The United States Information Agency which existed from 1953 to 1999. The United States Information devoted the public democracy in 1999, the United States Information Agency broadcast functions were moved newly created Broadcasting Board of Governors. It is exchanged and non-broadcasting information which was given to the widely created Undersecretary of State of the Public Affairs and Public Diplomatically of the United States State Department. Its goals were to explain and advise the U.S. policies in terms that it may be credible and meaningful in foreign countries. The second one is to provide information about the office policies of the United States and about people, values, and the institutes which influence these policies. Number three, to bring the benefits of international engagement to America citizens to institutions by helping them build stronger and lasting relationships to the counterparts overseas, and to advise the President and the United States policymakers on the ways in which foreign attitudes will have a direct bearing on the effects of U.S. policies. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that this itself is a propaganda machine. This is why it's so important that we understand these things, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, you think that these we don't even know what most of this stuff is. We don't because these are propaganda tools. Here we go. Check this out. Propaganda in the United States. In the United States comes the government. Government and private entities are various kinds. Propaganda in information. Ideas or rumors deliberately spread widely to influence opinions on incisive actions. Propaganda can be deceitful through many media, including newspapers, posters, books, and anything else that might be sent out widespread public. Numerous sources of news exist in the United States. Most are operated by private companies. They propagandize on behalf of the private actors. The big three broadcasts, NBC, CBS, ABC, the cable networks, CNN, and MSNBC, are frequently accused of being biased their coverage in a left-wing view. where the newer Fox News channel has been considered to be biased, being in the right wing point of view. According to the propaganda model of Edward Herman and Naima Chagsky, privately owned news media promote the economic and the political interests of the large companies that own or advise them. The political, I'm not going to even talk about the political, we already know about the political. The social propaganda, various non-profit private organizations use advertising channels to advise social goals outside of the political system, and the groups such as ad councils and the Foundation of Better Life distributes public service announcements to encourage tolerance, generalization, and economic responsibility. We already know about the World War II stuff, but check this out. Because I'm not going to talk about World War II. It says, during the Cold War, the United States produced various amount of propaganda against communism and the socialist bloc. Most of these propaganda was directed by the FBI under J. R. Hoover, who has known to be wrote the anti-communist tract, Master of the Deceit, and the FBI's Contel Pro Arm solicited journalism to produce fake news items discrediting communists and affiliated groups. Right? So check this out. In 2002, the United States Department, the United States of Defense launched an information operation. The goal of the operation was to spread administrative talking points on Iraq by briefing retired colonels and the networks and cable TV appears. They have been presented to the independent analysts on May 22nd, 2008. After this program was revealed in New York Times, the House passed an amendment that we would permanently be a domestic propaganda ban that previously has been enacted annually in the military authorization bill. What? Y'all don't think that was going on? Y'all don't know? Psychological operations and propaganda. Psychological warfare. The United States defines psychological operations or PSYOPs, the plan to operate and to convert selected information and intents of the federal, the foreign audiences and influence the emotion, movement, objective reasoning, and ultimately the behavior of foreign governments and organizations, groups, and individuals. The St. Mark Act, adopted in 1948, explicitly forbidden information of the information and Cypro operation aimed at the United States public. Nevertheless, the continual ease access to the news and information around the globe makes it difficult to guarantee PSYOP programs are not being reached in the United States public, are the words of Army Colonel James A. Tarwell, who commanded the United States PSYOP unit in Iraq in 2003 in the Post. There's always going to be a certain amount of bleed over in the global information of an economy, of an environment. The agency of France Press reported that the United States propaganda campaign that the Pentagon acknowledged in a newly disclosed document that the U.S. public is increasingly exposed to propaganda disseminated overseas in psychological operations. I would love to see that article, and it is an article. Well, if it comes up, I'd have it now. I have it right here. I will read real quick. It says that the Pentagon, this comes from Common Dreams Building Progressive Communities. I don't know how sourceful this site is, but if they have any sources, I will make sure that it's sourceable, okay? And I probably won't read it because I don't know how sourceful it is. Because they don't have a link to it or anything. It says, is the Progressive News and Ground Roots active organization founded in 1997. We are nonprofit, progressive, independent, nonpartisan. Okay, so I am not going to read this, and I apologize because I was going to read it because it was juicy. I'm not going to read it because it does not have a source where they were getting the information from. So, all right. You also have to look at, they say, see also American propaganda during World War II, the Bureau of International Information Program, which I've read, the censorship in America. We already know about censorship and how bad it is. A list of the topics related to public relations and propaganda, media in the United States, Edward Browning, Operation Markenberg, which we talked about, United States Information Agency, which we talked about, Walt Disney's World War II propaganda production, the White Pages on El Salvador, Shared Values of Initiatives. So just get a glance at that if you have an opportunity. And so remember me telling you, ladies and gentlemen, about the connection base between the connection between the federal government and these agencies. It is very interesting to me that these agencies can continuously be able to gain authority and contract abilities to do whatever they need in order to be anti-American, that's what I call it. Because, you know, everything I believed in to be true holds true in some cases, but not all the time. Because, you know, we know that everything's not absolute. But listen, we as the people who love America, we try to get as close as possible. So I'm going to play this clip real quick. It's a very interesting clip. Because this clip was, he was the former, let me see what it is. This gentleman here is going to be talking about the Obama administration and how the Obama administration is continuing the policies that George Bush was doing. And this is coming out of The Lead with Jake Tapper, and he continues. I'm trying to find out the gentleman's name who's going to be speaking. But he continues to talk about positively about President Obama. Listen to what he had to say. I mean, you know, sometimes it's good to just, you know, sit back and listen and try to figure out what they're really talking about and how things are going to go. Because, you know, these people, when I say these people, I'm talking about the people who are thinking that they're doing the greatest thing they are for America. They're really not doing us no service, or no just service, I should say. It's coming, it's pulling it up, you know, they got the... Here it comes.
General Hayden, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Jake.
So I want to play some sound. I spoke with Senator Rand Paul just a little while ago and asked him how Edward Snowden should be handled, and this is what he said.
I think it was divulging a program that I think clearly there are constitutional questions about and for which the Director of Intelligence frankly lied to the U.S. Senate and said we're not collecting any data on any American when, in fact, they're doing a billion pieces of data every day.
So he says there are constitutional questions about these surveillance programs and that there are serious credibility problems
right.
with the intelligence apparatus in this country.
Okay.
Do you agree?
No, I don't. neither. Let me assume that I do for a moment, all right? To be a true whistleblower, you need to raise your hand inside the institution. You need to go to your supervisor. You need to go to the inspector general. You need to go to members of Congress. I mean, all of these things are laid out. And so if you think something's wrong, raise your hand and tell people that something's wrong.
How is this not a violation of the Fourth Amendment and illegal search and seizure? There are very specific, this very specific language about needing a specific warrant for a specific individual in the Constitution. This is mining millions of data and sticking it in a room and then being able to go in and get it later.
So you're talking, for example, about the so-called Verizon program,
right,
with the metadata of U.S. phone calls? Well, first of all, the Supreme Court has ruled that metadata, the kind of stuff we're talking about here, is not covered by the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Smith versus Maryland, 1979. So this is not a constitutional issue. Now, I understand it could still be a privacy issue. It could even be a legal issue, but it's not a constitutional issue.
1979, this is
right.
Before the Internet. This is before cell phones. Don't you think these things have to be revisited?
Well, I mean, I'd be happy to revisit them, but there's a process to revisit them. Right now, we've got a 5-3 decision from the Supreme Court that says that metadata is not constitutionally protected.
There's a whistleblower named William Binney. He was a former national security analyst, and he told the Daily Caller recently that the NSA could be recording the calls on the target list. That's just the smaller list of 500,000 to a million individuals that are being watched by the government. Is there any possibility that's true, that the calls are being recorded?
I can't conceive of it being true. Number one, I think it's technologically beyond the capacity of any surveillance agency to do that. And number two, it just doesn't make sense with what it is we know about this program. I mean, the agency gathers from American telecom providers what are essentially business records. They don't collect it. They don't put alligator clips on some wire somewhere. These are records that the company creates for their own purposes and then under this court order shares with the National Security Agency.
The NSA director was in front of Congress today, and he said that dozens, in his view, of terrorist events have been prevented in part because of information gathered from these surveillance programs. Is that true from your experience?
I have no reason to challenge that, of course.
What about during your tenure?
During my tenure, what is now the Verizon program was part of what we now call, for that period back then, the terrorist surveillance program. And we did have a whole series of intelligence reports that came out of that program that would not otherwise have been available.
Yeah. Do you not understand the concern that people have, not so much that the program in and of itself or that you, General Hayden, are at issue, but that if history has taught us anything, programs like these are abused. There are not always just 100% good actors. You know, the Federalist Papers and we are not angels. And the idea that you look at the IRS scandal, you look at the abuses, the wiretapping, the one at the Martin Luther King that started with national security concerns and became something else.
Right.
Do you not understand why people are really worried about that?
No, of course I understand it. I'm an American too. I come from the same bloodline of those folks who are very much concerned about this program. But I probably know a little bit more about the program, a little bit more about the people who are conducting the program, and at least I'm taking the time, Jake, to look at how the program is overseen. Now, I get it. Our Constitution was designed to prevent the abuse of power. And so you set up three competing branches of government, which frankly leads to gridlock every now and again, as we've recently seen. But the idea was you create these natural tensions within the federal government to prevent these kinds of abuses. In this case, you have two successive presidents, the two chambers of Congress, and the American court system all aware of the program and all through our political processes agreeing with the program.
Richard Clark, the former National Coordinator for Security and Counterterrorism in the Bush White House, wrote an op-ed in the New York Daily News today, and he wrote, quote, "The law under which President George W. Bush and now President Obama have acted was not intended to give the government records of all telephone calls. If that had been the intent, the law would have said that it didn't. Rather, the law envisioned the administration coming to a special court on a case-by-case basis to explain why it needed to have specific records." So he is saying that these programs go beyond the intent of the law.
Yeah, and a bipartisan majority in both houses of Congress apparently disagree with Richard because they have authorized this program and continued to authorize this program. And frankly, the Obama administration was more transparent about this effort than we were in the Bush administration. I mean, they made this metadata collection activity available to all the members of Congress, not just all the members of the intelligence committees.
Last question for you. And as a former Bush administration official, do you ever find it odd, given how quiet the Obama administration has been in defending these programs? We had Clapper gave one interview and then disappeared. Obama spoke once and then disappeared. Meanwhile, all these Republicans, Republican chairman in the House key committees, Peter King, Mike Rogers, former Bush administration officials, you guys are the ones coming forward defending these programs after listening to President Obama and before that Senator Obama say some not-so-nice things about these surveillance programs. How does that feel?
There was a concern, all right? There was concern among us in the Bush administration. We felt comfortable with these programs. We thought they were necessary. We believed that they were lawful, they were appropriate, and they were effective. And there is great concern on our part that the way candidate Obama had spoken, that some of these programs would be stopped. The fact of the matter is, most of them have not. Some of them have been expanded. That's actually really good news. And that's not something we in the former administration need to spike the football about and say, I told you so. We should just take a sense of satisfaction that what we were doing, once candidate Obama became President Obama, he saw that these were of great value and, frankly, were being very carefully done. The shorthand version about this, Jake, is national security looks a little different from the Oval Office than it does from a hotel room in Iowa.
All right, General Hayden, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Pretty interesting, wasn't it? That was very interesting. Well, to me it was. You know, General Hayden, he was the former director of the NSA. He had a very different director, very different perspective of what we see things. So, you know, I just want to put that out there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your effort. We will continue this conversation at 10:03 p.m. Central Standard Time on Monday. And the next time I hear you, the next time I see you, you should be sounding off, because this is Sound Off Forum, and I'm George Beverly. You have a great weekend. God bless and good night.